California, one of the most beautiful states in the country, one of the most populated, one of the biggest economies, but we got people pooping, I mean, in grocery stores.
Yeah.
In the grocery stores, Paul.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on there with California.
Well, you know, the people in charge, really, this is what people need to understand. I'll just, you know, hit you right up front with this. We're living in communism right now. And so as much lawlessness that they can promote is what is needed to finally overthrow and topple the state of California. But ultimately, their aim is, of course, the rest of the nation. And this isn't hype. It's not hyperbole. Everybody who's in California recognizes, I think not most everybody recognizes, that really this has now become a communist totalitarian state. They're doing all the things that totalitarians do. It's sort of a totalitarian light right now, I think, in the next year or 2 years of continued rule by these folks. You'll see the hammer really start to come down where people will be in large ways losing property, losing their livelihood, you know, completely. It's already been a progression that's been going on for the last 30 years. But now it's sort of reached its zenith. You have a runaway legislature that meets 11 months out of each year, passes whatever laws it wants to pass. You know, somebody has a dream of some certain law. They just go into the legislature, they mark it up, and they pass it and get it signed by the governor by the end of the day. I mean, it's just an incredible situation where you have so many laws being passed, the overburden of too many laws, too many taxes, too many regulations. And, of course, it's become a bureaucracy or a bureaucrat dream come true. And, of course, for us, it's a bureaucratic nightmare. But the bottom line to it is that everything they're doing right now is designed to take away our liberties and to destroy lawful behavior. That's really what it is. So if you want to take over a country, you turn it into a lawless state, and you insert your own laws. And, of course, that's exactly what they intend to do. The whole thing about guns, sanctuary state, all this stuff is designed to take away all of our rights, all of our God-given rights that the Constitution gave us, and impose their will upon us. That's the whole grand design. So it's working. It has been working. And what we get feces on the street. We get cities like San Francisco, which were once so beautiful, turning into an absolute nightmare. It's become very medieval. And I think this is one of their tactics, is a medieval type of tactic. And it's resulted in that. We've got vast homelessness in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, and, of course, the Sacramento area. But it's also all around the state. It's not just those cities that have it so much that they have the largest numbers because of the density. But out in the rural areas, too, we have a lot of homelessness because there's no jobs. And because of the overregulations and all the things that are imposed upon employers, they've just left the state to do business someplace else. So the middle class is gone, and most of our big industries are completely gone now out of California. So that's why we started New California, to bring all that back, put a stop to the tyranny, basically, is what we're seeing. So we stop the tyranny, we bring back lawful behavior, and then we really do everything we possibly can do to build the economy again. Because right now the California state does not have any economy, really, per se. Other than an economy that's starting to go bust, if you will, from high tech. High tech is starting to go bust right now. And of course,
the secondary effect of what's going on here in San Francisco and these other is there like major conventions pulling out. They're like not having their convention anymore. I mean, and this brings in, I would suggest to you, you would maybe know better than me, I have to believe millions and millions of dollars pour in to these cities, you know, the economy, when they have these conventions, when thousands and thousands of people from all over the world sometimes come there for conventions, and they're canceling those now because people can't walk down the that are guests from the convention because of the and the needles and the homelessness. I mean, if you've seen the videos of them driving through LA, for example, you know, you've seen the videos, people drive through LA. Paul, I can't believe this is going on in America. I cannot believe. And then you have these plastic politicians who stand up and lecture us, and they can't even take care of their own damn town.
No, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's all part of the strategy to break the will of the American people. to promote lawlessness, and to make a shambles of our constitutional way of life. That's really what it is. So if you're a globalist, this is what you want. You want to break down every state one at a time. California first, because it's the largest state in the union. It's the most progressive, so it's the easiest target to pick. But then there's other states too that are following down the same pathway. And you saw what happened when Mike Bloomberg went in and basically bought up a lot of politicians and flooded Virginia. And look at what Virginia is doing. I talked about this on my show this morning, is that they're just mimicking now. Their legislators are just mimicking all the laws from California. It doesn't matter if it's sanctuary state policies or if it matters Second Amendment. They're mimicking the almost identical laws that California has. This is something, and I was telling everybody, Virginia, don't let yourself become Californicated, nor should other states do that. Don't follow this pathway because, and again, you've got Democratic progressive legislators that are prompting and promoting this. I call them the communist legislators because that's really what they are. Anybody who wants to take away your Second Amendment right, there's an ulterior motive, you know, and some of the people were expressing it just so perfectly in Virginia, though, that, you know, why should we give up our constitutional rights so that the lawless can have guns themselves? The law-abiding citizens can't have guns. And why should we be turned into felons overnight? Because we do have guns. That's legally have guns. Those are the kinds of discussions going on in Virginia right now, and I'm really, really happy to see that. It's a matter of people speaking up, getting their opinions known about this, and then they've got to take the next step. They've got to take action to stop these people. And again, you've got a person like a Michael Bloomberg who really truly is interfering in government. You know, he's an oligarch is what he is. I think he's worth $60 billion. And he can really throw his money around. And of course that can influence elections. It can influence outcomes. And as long as we have people being able to do that, we're going to be really challenged in the future. But we have a way out with New California, in that we, the people, have developed a process, following the process laid out by the Founding Fathers for a state split in Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution. We're following it. We've set it in motion, and we're going to finalize this whole process. Probably about this time next year, we'll be in Congress, and we'll be a new state. I really believe, especially with we'll follow it on the coattails of Donald Trump's victories, and we'll be a new state then.
Well, let me ask you this, Paul. In the new California, so I had Stuart Rhodes on the broadcast here right when that thing was going down in Virginia from Oath Keepers, and he was right there on the ground reporting for me. Now, he went out after that event, and he had said he was there about 2 weeks afterwards, visiting with local sheriffs, getting together posses, getting together a constitutional militia, kind of instructing him and training him on that. When New California becomes a state, are you going full blown constitution? Are you going constitutional militias? Are you doing all those type of things as well? Or you haven't got that far down the path yet to think about
The one thing we're going to start with is the Second Amendment. And of course, we're not going to infringe on anybody's Second Amendment right. All the laws that Virginia is just now passing will not exist in New California. All the Second Amendment laws, the ammunition, everything that you find in California today will not exist in New California. So we aren't even going to entertain those kind of laws because we value, you know, we are originalist constitutionalists in the New California movement, and we value everybody's constitutional right, including the right to keep and bear arms, which is exactly what we're going to be following. So we haven't gotten to the militia part of it yet. There's some very big issues in abuse of a militia and National Guard here in California. And quite frankly, legally, from a federal and state standpoint, those need to be addressed before we can progress further. I'm just sort of blaring it out there. We're covering quite a big story about the whole thing in California. And you'll be getting more information about that. It'll start to soon surface in the general media. But we have to let that kind of whole thing play out. But yeah, we're definitely going to be defending ourselves. We're going to be defending our rights. We will absolutely guarantee everybody's God-given rights by the Constitution. That'll be first and foremost.
Well, Paul, I know you're not. I know you're not a doctor nor a virologist. Switch gears a little bit here. I know that you never made those claims, but I'm going to ask you a question anyway. We see the COVID-19 spreading across the world. There's not very many deaths here. There's more people being diagnosed with it regularly. You see the stock market took a $2,000 dump. It came back up again today. You know the mainstream media is trying to use this whole coronavirus thing, even though it wasn't even put out in the United States. And how do you stop a virus?
Right.
They're coming after Trump. What's your overall thoughts? We've heard this is serious business. Depends upon, you know, people that I generally think are genuine people that really believe it on YouTube, create YouTube videos saying, bad, this is a pandemic, this is going to get bad. And then other people I respect go, it's not as bad as you may think. It's not. It's only a couple percentage, you know, between 0.1 and 1% fatality rate. As long as you're, you know, in the middle age or younger or healthier, you don't have to worry about it. If you're elderly, of course. What's your thoughts on this whole coronavirus thing, Paul? I mean, again, we're gonna preface this as going, Paul's not a physician, nor am I. We're not virologists. I know he's got a background in education, and maybe you taught science. I think you did, as a matter of fact.
I used to teach anatomy physiology.
Exactly. So I know you're a sharp guy on this, but you're not a quote-unquote doctor, but no. You have knowledge about it. What's your thoughts on this virus, Paul?
Well, my thoughts is that, first of all, hats off to America because we're a fairly clean country. We wash our hands about 80% of the time. 80% of the population wash their hands after they go to the toilet. And, of course, as you know, Chris Street, I think, brought this out through the Epoch Times that only 23% in China wash their hands. Now, this particular virus is more of a contact virus. In other words, you can get it off of doorknobs. You can get it off of walls and shaking hands and things like that. That's why they're telling everybody to wash your hands, wash your hands. And it appears that the height of its virulence is, at the time when you do have it, that's the best time to wear a mask is what they say. But before that, it doesn't. You shouldn't be wearing a mask. They say you shouldn't even wear them at all. But my suggestion to everybody, first and foremost, is always wash your hands and try and stay out of large areas in which you might find somebody who's got it. But the pattern that we're seeing right now coming into the United States is that it seems to have slowed down, even though we're starting to get more and more of these cases. It's actually spreading more like most viruses do of this variety. It's not an influenza virus. That's a different strain of virus, which actually has killed thousands of people so far this year in America. This is really, they say, attributed to 26. A lot of these are in elderly populations. That's what seems to go first, obviously. And that's what happens with the flu, too. You always get the elderly get sick, or they've had some other pre-existing condition and they die of the flu or pneumonia that's been brought about by the flu. I'm not seeing a huge pattern developing here yet. It will over time, but it's kind of like it's kind of like, can we run the clock out? Because viruses usually die off in terms of the seasons by April and May. So we have about another month of this. And we'll have to see how this whole thing starts to track, whether or not it develops into a mass disease or pandemic. They're saying it's a pandemic worldwide. I think they're, in some places, for us anyway, a way more hysteria about it than there should be. I think that if we do the very common things of the continuing to keep ourselves clean, we'll have a better time of it. I do think that there has been some fear factor that's been exploited, certainly on the left, and I think that that's a problem. I think there's been more of that than anything else. It's almost like a false flag in and of itself, because once again, when you take a look at the die-off for the death rate, it doesn't seem to be as big as people were hyping it to be. That to me is a big tell.
No, I agree. Well, Paul, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Give some love to our sponsors. We'll be back on the other side just a couple of minutes here. And when we get back on the other side with Paul Preston, award-winning broadcast, top 50 broadcaster in the country, we're going to ask him, if Trump wins the re-election, Paul, here's going to be the question for the break. Trump wins the re-election, are we going to see things like Extortion 17? We're going to see things like the Benghazi gun running, Fast and Furious, or the Fast and Furious. Are we going to see those type of things like the uranium scandal? Are those things, in your opinion, going to be brought out in the open on a second Trump victory and here coming up in November. We'll be back with those questions and much more with Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio here on Northwest Liberty News. And Paul, just you hit the mute if you could. Sure. If you want, don't hit the mute. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Okay, Charlie Kirk is coming to Kalispell. It's not a very big town, so to have someone like Charlie Kirk stop by, it's kind of a big deal. He's going to be here this coming Saturday, March 14th at 6 p.m. at the Hilton Garden Inn. Charlie Kirk is the founder and president of Turning Point USA, a national student movement dedicated to identifying, organizing, and empowering young people to promote the principles of free markets and limited government. If you want to get tickets, just go to northwestsobernews.com and click on the image at the top of Charlie Kirk, and you'll go right to this page, and you can buy your tickets today at northwestsobernews.com. Now, this is this event here that's coming up is going to be an unforgettable Northwest Montana Republican rendezvous, and especially if you're a younger person, a young adult. You're going to want to come out and see what Charlie Kirk's got to say. So if you want to buy tickets, go to northwestlibertynews.com. That's northwestlibertynews.com. Okay, thanks for joining us here. We'll be back with Paul Preston in just 1 second. I just want to let everybody know the first commercial that I ran from Patriot Prepared, I talked to the supplier this morning from Heaven's Harvest. He has a shipment that's arriving in like 2 or 3 days. It's going to be sold out in a day or two. This is not a panic buy thing. Storable food's out everywhere. If you want to get some storable food and you're looking for that, I suggest you maybe go to Costco. If they're not sold out, go to your local grocer. If they're not sold out, just be prepared. Be prepared for anything. Earthquakes, fires, hurricanes. You never know what's going to happen. Snowstorms, depending upon where you live. So if you we do have food at patriotprepared.com, but you have to get the Heaven's Harvest line. That's the only one that's in stock. The other stuff from Legacy has taken about 2 months to get delivered, but this can be at your door in about a week or 10 days. So again, go to patriotprepared.com. That's patriotprepared.com and search for the Heaven's Harvest line. There's just right in the front page, and all that line is going to be available here in a couple of days. We're back again with Paul Preston, host of Agenda 21 Radio, friend of mine. We've interviewed you. I've been on his show numerous times, been on my show numerous times. We report a lot on the same kind of stuff. It's a little bit longer broadcast than I do. Has great guests on, great information, great insights on stuff, great contacts. Paul, we've got a few situations that stick in the craw of conservatives and people that appreciate liberty. Right? We have the Benghazi thing. We have with the and you know that very well. We had the extortion 17 thing. We've had the gun running for Fast and Furious. We've had the Uranium One. And the crooks seem to get away with it every stinking time. If Trump comes back in 2020 and wins again, you see him finally once and for all taking some of these criminals to task and locking them up for the crimes that they've committed, the crimes against humanity and in America. They're treasonous. Any thoughts on that, Paul?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that the president is starting to take some action now on a number of different things. One of them was, has been this whole issue of sanctuary states and sanctuary cities, and it's my understanding that the president has sort of laid down the law now, so especially armed after this court decision that just happened in the Supreme Court, or an appellate court, I think it was the 2nd District, where they supported the president and said that he can withhold funds, policing funds, for anybody, any city, any state, any county that is a so-called sanctuary county or has a sanctuary status. So he is now going after basically a lot of these people that are starting to ignore federal law and enforce sanctuary status and, of course, ignore ICE agents and following the lockup laws, basically, on some of these people that need to be locked up. My understanding is that the president has told certain people that they would be arrested, charged, and imprisoned and fined for their actions if they do not comply with the law. And I was told that just a couple of days ago, and I've already seen some reaction or heard some reaction from some of the people out in the field that they have been told. Gavin Newsom was one of them. Yeah, so that's a big one. So well, you're starting to see some action by the president on a whole wide range of things. You're going to see even more action, I believe, some big action, in fact, on April 16th. I think that's a big day in which you're going to start to see some major league action. Nancy Pelosi's already aware. I know Chuck Schumer got a visit from some Secret Service folks about his comments that were, that were made on the steps of the Supreme Court. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I know of a certain big city mayor that was warned. Next offense, he will be arrested. And you're starting to see now the president and the Justice Department given the green light to go out and start arresting people and start enforcing some laws they haven't been able to enforce. So I think yes, you're going to see a lot of people arrested. I think that especially in Trump's second term. It's my understanding that he's really going after people in the second term, not so much this one. He's laid down the groundwork for a lot of it, in the last few months. And, of course, this whole Ukrainian thing is just going to continue to open up. And, you know, it's really funny. We were reporting back in 2012, 13, and 14 about the Ukraine and about gun running. And, of course, this whole I called it Fast and Furious in Europe, which is, of course, the whole gun-running operation that came ultimately to be implicated with Benghazi and that whole thing. That whole story is really, I think, going to start to come to fruition. And there's a lot of people asking a lot of questions as to about certain other ancillary sort of military organizations that seem to have been helping and aiding and abetting the gun running that actually came from the state of California, and it's called the California Military Reserve. A lot of questions. This is all stuff, by the way, that's on WikiLeaks. You can actually get this on WikiLeaks. That talks about what happens to this California Military Reserve. The questions are, why were they in Tripoli a month before Benghazi? Big question. Also, what were they doing in the Ukraine? A California military reserve at the command was Jerry Brown.
Uh-huh.
A governor.
Well,
excuse me.
Paul, is you mentioned Gavin got a visit. I was wondering why that snake came out yesterday and praised Trump for all of his work on coronavirus. Now it makes sense. It makes sense. They scared the poop out of him. It's probably what happened. He probably went down to San Francisco, of course, and relieved himself because that's what they do.
Right.
But they scared the you-know-what out of the guy, huh?
Well, if you go to my website, agenda21radio.news, one of the front headline stories is a picture of Gavin 2 days ago talking about the porting of this big cruise ship in Oakland, right? And he's got the Oakland mayor there. He's got his Office of Emergency Service guy there. He's got some doctors and some other people all in white coats. And they all have sad faces. They're just blown away. And so I took a picture of it, and I put it up, and I said, why all the sad faces? Well, all the sad faces, it's because they've been told, if you're breaking laws, and Gavin Newsom has some other things that they're looking at. They're looking at various government loans that he's been helping people out with that seem to be breaking federal laws. So there's a whole wide range of reason why they're sad. But I think that the fact that they've been told, and in no uncertain terms, California's on notice. A couple of things about California, and Gavin was told this, is the state is broke, and you know it. And so now, all of a sudden, if the state is broke, how are they going to function? That's where New California comes in. And I think that you're going to see some pretty quick moves of for New California to actually establish itself as the 51st state in a couple of months.
Paul, they've got the largest population, I believe, of any state in the union. They probably have the economy, I think, of California alone is bigger than a lot of small countries, many small right. countries, as a matter of fact. How in the world are they broke? They're one of the most taxed. They got all the tech, all the gurus, all the techs there in California, pretty much. I mean, there's some in Washington, but generally Microsoft, but generally California is the place, and there's Amazon's in Washington, but California is the hub of the Silicon Valley, so to speak. How, where's all that money going, Paul? Are they just pilfering it?
I mean, what's pilfering? Going on? Yeah, over the years it's pilfering. They've been, again, they got that legislature. They can write laws about, you know, having $20 million put in your account tomorrow, and the governor sign it, and it happens. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's going on. Basically, what you're seeing is an incredible theft of public money out of California that's been going on for years, and primarily the cartels and China have been the biggest benefactors, the beneficiaries. They're the ones that are doing the looting of the treasury, so to speak, and have been for years with the help of the machinery of government. Now that's a mechanized version of government that's doing nothing but taking money from everybody and giving it to the super rich and the gangsters, basically the cartels and the Chinese. Now we had this one situation out here with the public employees retirement system, PERS. That kind of gives you an idea how this works. PERS is the largest retirement system outside of Social Security. And we also have another one, a companion for teachers, the state teachers retirement system. But PERS has been investing primarily in Chinese stocks. And you may have heard about this, in Chinese stocks. And these Chinese stocks have all been Chinese military companies. Now, let's check this out, ladies and gentlemen. If they're Chinese companies, they're owned by the communist Chinese government. Let's be very clear. In other words, the people don't own these. You don't have stockholders. You have one stock issuance, and that goes to the Chinese government. So they're supposed to pay off, you know, dividends on this investment. And, of course, it's been very limited. And now that China has reached a financial crisis, All these billions of dollars that have been invested by way of employees paying into the system, you know, your public employees paying into the system, you know, your union workers, that money has been going directly to China. It's not coming back in the form of a return that would be a sizable return, so that all the investment is secured. And so what's happening is that every month that goes by, there's less and less money coming in to PERS, and ultimately it's going to break the bank of PERS. And that's because they go out and hire, are you ready for this? They hired a Chinese communist military official to be the key buyer for PERS. A member of the Communist Chinese Party, a friend of Xi Jinping. This guy is the buyer of these stocks. He works for PERS, and that's where he's the biggest investment guy they got. And he's been down there for 2 years. So this is basically a large-scale money laundering scheme, taking money from hardworking union employees and basically turning it over to the state, and it turns it right over to China. That's what happens. Billions of dollars. This goes on all the time. Now listen to this. Talk about how much money's gone. Chris, our own Chris Street, because we've been following the financial calamity and collapse of California to position ourselves as to when we can actually bring in new California, because we know timing has to be sublime to do this. You got to be perfectly timed so that when the collapse does come in, we come in and say, look, we will help you out. This is how we're going to do it. You know, this is what we're going to do, and so on. Because we negotiate with the legislature concerned. It has to be the legislature, then it has to be then the U.S. Congress. But this timing has been so perfect and so guided right now. We know when the collapse is going to happen. It's starting to happen right now. Now, but one of the big tells on this, that it was a guidepost for us, which is really amazing, is last year, her name is Betty Yee. She's the auditor general, so to speak, for the state of California. And she's the one every month who's supposed to put out how much money has come in and how much money has gone out, you know, versus the budget. Well, last year in March, she stopped producing the report. Legally, she has to produce it. So Chris Street, who used to be the treasurer of Orange County, California, one of the largest counties in the nation, he picked up on that right away, and he started calling and says, hey, how come you're not giving your report? Well, we don't have to, you know. She started getting that whole attitude after a couple of months of no reports. They still have not produced a report. So there's a lawsuit now by a nonprofit organization, and the best to their knowledge, they came out in Real Clear Politics the other day, about a month ago. It came out that California, and they admitted to this, they cannot account for it. Are you ready for this? I know you got your hands on the 10 and 2 and your seatbelt is on. Listen to this. They cannot account for $320 billion that was spent last year in California. Billion. I mean, that's just amazing. They have no receipts. They have no record of it. The money just disappeared. Now, see, this is what is going on in California. It's unbelievable, but that this is theft, and, of course, it's going to cartels, manipulated by Jerry Brown, and, of course, you can see how some of the mechanisms are working for China.
Well, you know, speaking of China, I'm sure you're aware that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, at the governor's meeting a couple of weeks ago,
right.
I believe he basically stated, we know that you've been doing deals with China. Many of you in this room are on that list. Paul, are we going to find that there's, I think there's Republicans and Democrats, frankly, on there. When the smoke clears and we get all this stuff comes out in the wash, are we going to find that there's a numerous amount of governors that have been selling out America to China? I mean,
absolutely.
Is this,
it's like Jerry Brown sold out, you know, and so did Arnold Schwarzenegger. Listen, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the great socialist that he says he's not. Gray Davis, almost every governor going back to 1990 has sold out to the Chinese, and for some reason they thought it was a great investment, but they really have sold completely out California more than anybody else. But yeah, I saw that. I watched that live, by the way, that when Pompeo came in, and as it turns out, he's an Orange County boy. He grew up in Orange County, went to Los Amigos High School. His family still lives in Fountain Valley, California. So it's kind of a shocker. But it tells you he knows about New California, but that's another issue. But I saw that, and one of our people on our department chairs, or I think it was a Sunday meeting, who has been very familiar with FBI briefings, security briefings, he said clearly what Pompeo did is he gave an up-to-minute FBI briefing, literally classified briefing, to every one of those governors, and he implicated them. And, you know, what I thought was amazing was the body language of these governors, because the camera was panning around. It looked like they were trying to get themselves scrunched up under the desk. You remember, I used to be a teacher, and I used to see kids when they wanted to answer a question, and they go, they kind of sink down in their chairs. You know? And these guys were trying to hide their whole bodies. I was cracking up, because they're guilty. They're guilty, and I'm telling you, Donald Trump, the Department of Justice, is going to go after these folks. You know, to start in California.
Paul, I can't believe how fast time goes by when you're with me. It's like every one of our shows just blasts by. We're going 10 or 12. I don't really cover this an awful lot because it's a freaking circus sideshow. But the federal government is, you know, they got an election coming up here. I've never seen a more disorganized, dysfunctional, and now I think broke organization more than the DNC. Joe can't remember his name. Yesterday he was in Michigan and he said, we're going to take your AR-14s. He's not even, I don't even think he can, I think he's got some serious mental capacity issues. Too bad. We hate to see that happen. Do you think Joe Biden is going to be the guy, or I've heard about the bait and switch. Hillary coming. I've heard Michelle Obama coming. What is your intel? What is your people saying, Paul? What's the likelihood that we're going to have a Joe Biden actually running? I don't see the guy. How can he debate anybody? He can't barely. They only got him to talk. 10 minutes at a time now.
Yeah, I know. He's very limited. And, you know, it's sad that they're trying to prop up their, you know, their Democratic Party with a guy like Joe Biden, because he really is senile. And the stress of being out there and the strain of moving around so much at his age is really gotten to him. He's not nearly as sharp as he was 10, 20 years ago. But I would think that he's going to be gone. I don't see them giving it to Bernie Sanders. I think it's going to come down to Hillary Clinton. That's what I think. And you might see a Michelle Obama run as a running mate. That might work for them. I think that they don't have any money. I still think that there's more to come out and will be coming out in the weeks and months ahead before the election that will derail just about every one of the candidates except for Bernie.
Yeah, no, see, we're not. What's going to happen with Hillary? She's gotten Tom Fitton, who does just the guy's American hero.
Yep.
Tom Fitton over at Judicial Watch, man, he's literally when this story is written, he needs to be recognized. He has got now. He's got her having to. She has to appear before a judge and answer the questions about the email. And here's the thing, Paul. Trump's already said they've got him, so they've got the email. So she's going to be in a pretty precarious position. If she lies under oath, how does she know that Trump doesn't have the actual proof and they zing her right away? If she tells the truth, she's in trouble as well.
Right.
I mean, do you see her being like it back? I mean, have they successfully finally quartered this rat and we're finally going to extinguish her and get her freaking out of politics forever and behind bars where she belongs?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Bill's got problems too. I hear, you know, from my inside sources, Bill's got some major league problems, and that's just all going to kind of come up hopefully after the election. I don't know what's going to happen to Hillary. I don't know when I'm not sure when the hearing is going to be where she has to testify under oath. I think it's pretty soon. It should be before the election.
75. Whenever they made the ruling, she had 75 days.
Right. Okay.
She'll probably a full 75 days. I'm sure.
Oh yeah. But the big point is that, yeah, you're right. She's in a double bind. If she answers the question one way, she's guilty. If she answers another way, she's just as guilty. And so there's no way out for her. And you know the attorneys with Fitton are just going to nail her. And there's so much to be had. And, you know, the thing that just amazes me about these folks is, like I was alluding to about the stories of the Ukraine and everything, and we knew this months, years ago, you know, about the gun running, who the players were. We knew about Igor Pasternak. We knew about the relationship with Adam Schiff and all that stuff, and the Pelosi's and Burisma. But none of it really made a lot of sense until, of course, recently, when a lot more facts started to come out. But we were reporting a lot of this stuff. And, you know, these people, live in an alternative universe to think that this information has been out, we've been talking about it, and they just act like it's not there. And it shows you that they have just so much disdain for media like us, or they're just plain walking into a trap for themselves. But the information is clearly out there. The public, in a general sense, knows about it. Beyond the mainstream media, because not too many people are really listening to the mainstream media anymore. So I see that some big problems ahead for all them, and the truth is going to hurt. I know Comey's already got the hurt on. Clapper's got the hurt on. Brennan's got the hurt on. You're going to see some perp walking going on from some of these folks, and it's going to happen real soon. And it can't happen soon enough, as you know.
No, I agree. You know what, Paul, and I think of you often when I think about that dam. I forget the name of that dam
Orville
out there.
Dam.
Right. I remember a couple years ago, man, we were on the phone, and it was like on the verge. It was seemingly hours away from giving out and flooding. I mean, there would have been thousands of people that would have been killed in
right.
that one. I mean, you told me, I think you said there would have been, what, 10 feet of water over your house?
24. But who's counting? 24 feet.
At that point, what does it matter?
Right? Yeah.
What's the situation with that dam? Have they shored that up? Do you still have to worry about that? I mean, I don't trust anybody in California to do anything, frankly, that's government.
What's happened with the dam is that they've done all the things that they can think of to, in my opinion, help the dam along to collapsing. You know, they had the spillway, they rebuilt the spillway, but along the line of rebuilding the spillway, they did a lot of blasting. They blasted and to remove the old spillway. And, of course, what they were doing every time they were blasting is that they were shaking you know, the bedrock, if you will, and they were fracturing the bedrock. And we were saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. Scott Cahill and several other dam experts, and I'm not a dam expert. I've learned these things because, you know, it almost killed me on February 12th, 2017. So, you know, you kind of have a I'm going to pay attention to these kind of things.
That night I called you? Is that the night I called? Is that the very night I called?
Yeah, you called me that night, and you were one of the people on the phone. I use you as a descriptor sometimes about people I was talking to that night. But, they were blasting. They fractured all the rock and the bedrock. They say that they've repaired it properly and so on. So they go and they do the test last year. I'm losing track of time. So they bring over water over the spillway for the first time, and they bring it up to 25,000 CSF, which is, you know, cubic feet per second, CFS. And anyway, so they bring it up to 25,000, and, you know, I was actually at the site when they were doing it at 25,000. I was across the street on Oro Dam, and the ground was shaking. Well, the thing is built for 180,000, and so it's shaking on the ground at 25. And I said to myself, "Man, did they really misdesign this?" And of course, that's exactly what happened. After they had a few days of flow, they figured out they'd probably better shut the flow down, or they're going to lose the entire spillway, and they'd have a bigger problem they had before. So they shut it down. When all the water stopped, the cement plates that are down there on the spillway, because they're made in big plate squares, were buckling. They're buckling. I mean, this has only been used for 5 days. This thing is supposed to be used for 10 days at a time without any problem. But they figured out they had some major design flaws. So the bottom line to it is it's still in disrepair. It's non-functional. I don't think they're going to build it. I had a pretty good talk with some people that were prompted last week at the information came out last week at the 6th Constitutional Convention that we had, and we followed up on that. And when we followed up on it, we found that the builders now are going to not use that spillway, and they're going to build a brand new spillway off to the side because that one doesn't work. $2 billion gone. And all they needed to do was listen to a few people that told them it's not going to work. I even filed a lawsuit against them to get them to stop the blasting. So we're on record that blasting probably wasn't a good idea. I think you're going to see some things. When New California takes over, we will take over that project. And Donald Trump, my understanding, as president, is going to help us build a new dam and complete the water system in California.
You understand, Paul, you know what's going to happen when you do California going. And you're running it like a tightly run ship, like legally, honestly, and appropriately, like it's supposed to be run, like we're supposed to run things. Do you know the rest of California is going to see how successful you guys are, and this archaic system is going to crumble. That's my prediction. Yep. Any thoughts on that?
That's exactly what will happen. In fact, what we're going to do is offer them a buyout. We're going to stabilize the retirement systems, and we're going to offer them a buyout because we're going to flip the economy around, because there's no economy in California now. They've destroyed it. California's economy is 50th in the United States in business friendliness. So all the businesses have left. What they have left is they're living off the capital gains of the high-tech industry. That's all going away now. So they're broke as a joke. They're missing $320 million. They didn't get bonds passed in this last election, so they're not going to get that money. And Donald Trump saying, hey, I want my $3 billion back from that train to nowhere. They've got a lot of pressure on money. That's why they have no money. They're broke as a joke. They claim that they have $21 billion in reserve. But, you know, I say this is California checkbook economy. What they do is they have numbers in the checkbook, and all they do is add, you know, six more zeros behind the check register, and that tells them what their budget is. It's ridiculous, or what they have in the checking account. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. So they're going to collapse as a government. They're doing it right now, and we're going to come in and put in the restored government of California and then create New California. That will probably happen in fairly short order, a lot quicker than a lot of people realize, and that will help to stabilize the situation. You know, we had the Constitutional Convention, our sixth one, and we asked Mike Huckabee to show up, and he showed up. And
it's good.
You know, yeah, it was a huge success, and it, you know, he wouldn't show up unless Donald Trump gave him the nod to be out there. And he gave a great speech. He endorsed the new California and said it's going to happen, and it will happen very soon, is what he said. That's his quote. So I think it's going to happen sooner than we think.
Please tell me you're not going to allow fake news in New California, Paul.
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to allow Northwest Liberty News in first and foremost. How's that? No fake news right there.
You're all right by me. Well, we're just running short on time. As you know how things go, just time just goes by so fast.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, tell us what's going on with you, Paul. I know you're involved in the New California movement. You always got something going on. You got great sources, great in. What are you working on right now to give people a little bit of a tease? What can they keep an eye out for, Paul Preston, over the next couple of weeks or month or so?
Well, I think keep your eye on the April 16th date, and you're going to see a lot of movement, I think, in New California, and also by the actions of the president. I think you're going to see a lot of big things happening, and just sort of mark that on your calendar. And again, around the nation, there's going to be real movement by this president to take action to bring the bad guys down. And I think that's going to be a wonderful thing for our country, certainly for New California.
Well, folks, I want to give Paul an opportunity to give out his websites and where people can find out more about him. But please like and share this video, please, and help get the word out. Paul, where can people find out more about your great work, everything you do? I know you broadcast on this same network, Red State Video, earlier in the day. You're the morning guy. I think you broadcast after Scott Adams. Right. But let people... letting the people know about your website and where people can find out more about you.
Well, Red State Talk Radio for Agenda 21 Radio, and the website is agenda21radio.news or a21r.com. You get all news and information about how we stop the totalitarian, such as Barack Obama and others. This is also the venue now for New California State movement. NewCaliforniaState.com is one of our, we have two websites operating right now. We're going to condense into one, but we're shifting gears because we're going to become more into campaign mode, I guess you can say, for the next probably 4 or 5 months as we get into the fall. We are going to probably have another 7th Constitutional Convention, it looks like, and then that'll be the last one. Then we have a big one that'll come out right after October, right in the middle of October, in which we're going to write our Constitution for New California. And that's going to be really a lot of fun. And, it's going to be laborious, but we'll get it done. We have to get a Constitution up and ready for in case we all of a sudden become a state quicker than we think.
Just out of time. We're just out of time. You know how it goes, brother.
Yep.
So much for being here today.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate you. One of the finest in the nation right here, folks. Paul Press, come out. Always appreciate you having you on, Paul. Talk to you, brother.
Thanks.
Thanks so much. Take care. All right, folks.